Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, in part, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello today. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We're located just a few miles outside the town city limits of Boone, North Carolina. And we'd love for you to come and visit with us at any time in any or all of our services. We're located just off Highway 105 South on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And we have a church website, MountLebanonBC.org, which has all of our service times, information about the church. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. If you are here in the area without a church home, or if you are visiting in the area, we'd love for you to come by and visit with us at Mount Lebanon. I'm honored to be the pastor there, and I appreciate the church's support of this radio broadcast. I'm honored to be here with you today on the Blessings of Liberty. I'm going to be talking today on the subject of liberty of conscience. Liberty of conscience is what I'm going to be talking about, so we hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes or so. I also want to say hello to Noah. He's here in the studio this morning. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning.
It is. Beautiful day.
It is. I'm enjoying it.
Me too.
And we want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners and the radio stations that carry the broadcast. Before I get into the subject today, I wanted to take a moment and make just a quick announcement, and that is for our listeners in the area, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia. I'm planning on, Lord willing, being at the Midway Baptist Church in Butler, Tennessee. Pastor Greg Thompson is the pastor there. Now, whenever we schedule anything in January or February or March, that is always dependent on the weather cooperating. But Lord willing, we're going to be down there with the good folks at Midway February the 10th through the 13th. That is a Sunday night through a Wednesday night. Sunday night, we're going to start at 6:30, and Monday through Wednesday night, we're going to start at 7. And the reason I'm going to be down there, we're going to have a what I'm calling a Prophecy Now conference. There is so much that is taking place right now that we can just take the Bible, and you know the Bible is more up to date than this morning's newspaper headlines. And so we're going to be dealing with that subject, things that are going on right now in the world. Very, very interesting. I hope if you have time, you'll come down and visit with us. That's the Midway Baptist Church, Pastor Greg Thompson. I'm going to give his phone number. It is 423-895-9313. I'll give that again. You may want to write that down in case there's some weather going on or something. But or if you need directions to the church, Brother Greg Thompson, his phone number is 423-895-9313. And so I wanted to mention that this morning before we got started. But I want to talk about the subject of liberty of conscience. I preached on this last Sunday at Mount Lebanon, and I'd like for you to go to the church website. I preached two messages. Well, one message. It took me Sunday morning and Sunday night to complete it. But what I'm going to give you this morning could have been a third message. Liberty of conscience, because this is not what I, not the information I used Sunday morning, but liberty of conscience. That's what I want to talk about. And I believe a great Bible definition for what that means is what we find in Acts chapter number 5. And if you are familiar with your Bible, you'll know that Peter was arrested for preaching in Jesus' name. And he was threatened by the council there not to preach or teach in Jesus' name any longer. Well, they let him go. They went out. They did it again the second time they put them in prison. Acts chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible said, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So they were arrested. They were put in prison. The Lord delivered them out of prison and told them to go and break the law. That's what the Lord told them to do. They had told them not to preach. The Lord told them to go and preach. So they did. They went right back and did what the law told them not to do. Well, what happened? They got arrested again, and they got hauled before the council. And it said in Acts chapter 5, verse 25, that they said, verse 27, when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I think that's one of the greatest definitions of what I'm talking about this morning, liberty of conscience. The law says no, God says yes. What are you going to do when it comes right down to it, and the law says no, but God says yes? Well, Peter gave that great response, we ought to obey God rather than men. Liberty of conscience. Most of you that are regular listeners, you already know that I love to study the early history of our great country. And if you would have been alive in the years surrounding 1776, that's when the Declaration of Independence was signed, the years before, the years after the Declaration of Independence, you would have been familiar with the term liberty of conscience. I would say that most people today, if you ask them, could you give me a definition of liberty of conscience? Could you tell me what that means? Most people would not know what you're talking about. But if you'd have lived then, you would have heard statesmen use the phrase. I'm going to say statesmen instead of politicians because I think there's a difference between the two. The statesmen were great men, and not just politicians. That's sort of a term that's fell into ill repute in these days and times in which we live. But if you'd have lived then, you'd have heard statesmen like Patrick Henry or Thomas Jefferson use the phrase liberty of conscience. You would have went to church, and you would have heard preachers, pastors use the phrase in their preaching, liberty of conscience. People on the street would have been talking about this subject, liberty of conscience. You would have picked up a newspaper in that day and time, and you would have read articles concerning, sort of like now, what's the talk of the day? Debt limit, immigration, gun control. These are things people are talking about now. Well, in the years that I'm talking about, the 1770s in America, in the colonies, they were talking about liberty of conscience. It was a big deal. Now, if you're not very familiar with the early history of our nation, you might think that the American Revolutionary War was fought over a 3-pence tax. Now, 3 pence or 3 pennies, that's not very much. But you know, if you know anything about American history, you will know that that was the tax on tea. Most everybody is familiar with the Boston Tea Party. The Boston Tea Party is when the British ships brought their wares into the Boston Harbor there. The American patriots, fed up with this taxation without representation, they disguised themselves as Indians. They snuck up on the ships in the middle of the night, and they threw the tea into the harbor. They cracked the crates open, threw the tea over into the Boston Harbor, and that is referred to as the Boston Tea Party. They were protesting this 3-pence tax that was placed upon their tea that was being imported. And now that tax did play a major part in the American Revolutionary War. I mean, people, they were stirred up. They were fed up with these unnecessary taxes and these excessive taxes upon their lives. And so they protested by throwing the tea into the harbor. But there was another 3 pence tax that also played a major part in the American Revolution. And this tax was a ministerial tax. And what I mean by that, a ministerial tax, it was a tax that affected any minister, any preacher, any clergy or pastor of any church that was not the official state church at that time. Now, of course, at that time, America was a colony. They were colonies from Britain. And, of course, the ruler was King George. And in Britain, in England, the king was not only the king, the monarch over the government, but he was also the visible head and leader of the Church of England. So what I'm talking about, in America, the Church of England was referred to as the Anglican or the Episcopalian Church. But if you were not a member of that church, them being in control of the government, they laid a tax upon all these other ministers. And this tax, mainly at that time, affected the Baptist people. Now, I'm not going to get all into this today, but there's a reason why in the South, in North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, Virginia, there's a reason why there's a Baptist church on every corner. There was a great revival just previous to, beginning about the year 1755, that changed the whole nature of the South and the North. But this tax mainly affected the Baptist people. Now, in all fairness, there were others that were affected as well. The Quakers, for example, the Moravians were affected. Any congregation that was a separatist congregation was affected by this tax. Now, at that time, you did not have, there was no such thing as Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. There was none of that. But it mainly affected the Baptist people. But there was, during that time frame, a Baptist delegation. The Baptist churches, they grouped themselves together in associations. And once again, this is not talking about Southern Baptist associations, but just Baptist churches. They associated, in agreement, came together. They would have camp meetings, and they would have special times of worship where they would all come together, and they had revival, and God greatly worked in our nation. But these Baptists, they got together. They decided they needed to send a delegation to Philadelphia to meet with the Continental Congress in Philadelphia in 1774. The situation got so bad that they decided to send a delegation of preachers to go to Philadelphia and plead for liberty. So they met there with the Continental Congress in Philadelphia in 1774. Samuel Adams was there. John Adams was there. They were not there as Baptists. They were there as representatives of the Continental Congress at that time. Now, the leader of that Baptist delegation that went to Philadelphia was a preacher named Isaac Backus. Isaac Backus is very important because he wrote the history of what happened during that time period, Baptist history. If you study that at all, you're going to come across the name Isaac Backus. Now, the Boston Tea Party had already taken place about a year before these Baptists went to Philadelphia to plead for liberty. And Mr. Backus made the case that the certificate tax that they were protesting was the same amount, this is his words, that all America are alarmed at. He was referring to the tax on tea, the 3 pence tax on tea. Well, the tax to get a certificate to preach the gospel of the Son of God also cost 3 pence. So that's what I'm saying, this 3 pence tax. He said, all America are alarmed. He's talking about the tax on tea. And, you know, anyone could avoid the tax on tea by simply not drinking tea. Sort of like today, people, they fuss about how much gas costs. Well, you don't have to buy gas. You know, you could walk, you could ride a bicycle, you could take the bus. I don't know, but it's not an absolute necessity of life. It does not infringe upon your liberty of conscience that you buy gas and it's taxed, and it affects everybody. But now the Baptist, the Christian churches that were not Anglican at that time, Episcopalian at that time, they could not avoid the tax. If they preached the gospel, if they had a church service without these certificates, then they were arrested and they were fined, they were punished, they were kept in jail, they were made to be indentured servants. There was all kinds of things. Their property could be confiscated if they did not pay these certificates in order to preach the gospel. Now, Isaac Backus said this. He said, all America are alarmed at this 3 pence tax. He said about that tax at the delegation in Philadelphia, he said, we dare not render that homage to any earthly power. We are determined not to pay. We cannot give in the certificates you require. We claim charter rights and liberty of conscience. Now, their argument was against being made to support a ministry they said we cannot attend. They were against supporting a ministry, a church that they did not attend. And that's what they were doing in these certificate taxes that they had to pay. When they paid that tax went to the Church of England. They were vehemently opposed against that. And James Manning was another preacher that was on that delegation. He opened up the meeting, we might say. He had an opening statement that he stood up and read, and part of what he read before the Continental Congress, he said, the question is asked, what is the liberty desired? He went on down. He said, we claim and expect the liberty of worshiping God according to our consciences, not being obliged to support a ministry we cannot attend. That was their main problem that they had. Well, you might say today, what in the world has all of that got to do with us? Well, I'm glad you thought that, because that's what I'm trying to get to today, this subject of liberty of conscience. I've seen it coming up again and again in newspaper articles concerning different things. This is coming up with states and the government, churches and the government. I heard on the news the other morning, just by way of example of what I'm talking about, I heard on the news last week, the night before, or maybe the morning of, I believe it was the night before the presidential inauguration. The president, the vice president, they attended a interfaith prayer breakfast or something was going on anyway. Andy Stanley was the speaker there. And during that get-together, he suggested that Mr. Obama, because of his going to Newtown, Connecticut, meeting with the families, he gave a speech after that, and Andy Stanley referred to him as pastor-in-chief, or made some kind of statement that, you know, in recent days, that Mr. Obama has been pastor-in-chief. I heard another preacher a while back, and he said something along those same lines. It wasn't a compliment, but he said Mr. Obama thinks he's a preacher. He has actions. He has carries a tone in his speeches sometimes. He said Mr. Obama thinks he's a preacher. Well, Andy Stanley, I don't believe, was saying that he was the pastor-in-chief, but he, I think, cut him a little bit of slack. You know, he's trying to pay a compliment. He caught a lot of slack saying he should have said some other things. Well, I agree with that, but I wasn't there. I didn't hear that. But I would say this, if he is pastor-in-chief, if people look at him as being pastor-in-chief or preacher-in-chief, well, a pastor needs a church. A pastor wants to have a church. A preacher wants to have a church most of the time. But our forebears, our forefathers, they fought to free us from that because they fought to free us from a monarch who was head of church and state. That was the tyrant, King George. They fought against that. They didn't want a pastor-in-chief. They didn't want a preacher-in-chief. They fought against that as violating their liberty of conscience. Now, Mr. Obama and others in Washington, they believe, if you study out what they really believe about government, about society, they believe in what they refer to as a collective salvation. We've got to all come together. We've got to all work together. The Saturday before the swearing-in, I believe it was the Saturday before the swearing-in, and this also had to go along with Martin Luther King Day, but they declared, or they had what they call a national day of service. You know, everybody come out and work in the community. And, you know, I'm not totally against all of that. I think it's good to work in the community. I'm not opposed to service and all like that. But as a Christian, I am concerned about being herded into a healthcare system that supports abortion. I talked about abortion last week. 55 million plus children have been aborted since 1973, and our government is pro-abortion. Now, thank God there's many states, there's many on a local level and a state level that are against abortion, and they try to do what they can to restrict it, but it just boils down to this: the federal government is behind it and for it. And I'm really concerned about being made to be a part of a healthcare system that supports abortion. I don't want any of my money going in any way whatsoever towards, I don't want any of my tax money going towards in any way whatsoever anything that has to do with abortion. That would be violating my liberty of conscience. God says no, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if the government says it's right, God says it's wrong. If the government makes me be involved in something that God says is wrong, that violates my liberty of conscience. Another example that could be given: churches, preachers being pressured, being pushed into, being made to condone or go along with the movement in the United States of America that is promoting homosexual marriage. States vote on this. North Carolina last year voted not to recognize homosexual marriage. Some states have voted to recognize, but there's this push and there's this work that is constantly going on. I read something last week about in Colorado, the legislature's trying to get around their state constitution and what that says, and Christians there were saying this is violating our liberty of conscience. This is causing us to be a part of something that we believe as Christians is wrong in the sight of God. This is violating people's liberty of conscience. They were talking about renting church facilities, that churches were going to be forced into renting their facilities to homosexuals who wanted to have a civil ceremony in their churches. This is things that ought to really concern us as Christians, as Americans, if we believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Another example that could be given, I'm going to run out of time, but I'm very concerned about a government that is more concerned about gun control than they are the national debt. The national debt is going to turn us into a slave state if we're not careful, if something is not done about this. But the government, many of them in government, they're more concerned about gun control, about restricting your Second Amendment rights. In New York, they're calling for gun owners to register their guns, to register their ammunition. They're trying to pass a gun ban that'll say if you've got a certain type of gun, you're going to have to turn it in. It's going to be confiscated. Americans are, no pun intended here, but they're up in arms over this. This is very upsetting to think about a government that would think about taking away our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. You see, I believe that government is not the giver of liberty, but God is the giver of liberty. This is what is stated plainly in the Declaration of Independence. The Bible says there that, or not the Bible, the Declaration of Independence says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Second Amendment ensures that. The Second Amendment is in place to protect our God-given liberties that God gave us. Do you know, I said this last Sunday evening when I was preaching, and if it is ever right for Americans to forfeit our Second Amendment rights, then it was never right for them to fight for them to begin with. Have you ever thought about it like that? If it's ever right for us to forfeit our Second Amendment rights in any way whatsoever, it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. If it's ever right to turn them in, it was never right to fight for them to begin with. And they should have just stayed, you know, subjects of Great Britain. They should have just submitted to all that tyranny that came upon them. They should have just been satisfied to pay their taxes to a church that they would not attend and could not support doctrinally. But no, Christian patriots fought for our freedoms. If it's right to turn our firearms in, then the flag and all that it stands for, and George Washington and Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and everything else that we know as Americans, then it's just all a lie, and it doesn't really mean anything. We should just turn everything in and just go back to being a subject of Great Britain. As the government becomes more and more like a church, more and more like God, legislating, telling, affecting every area of our lives, more and more Christians, more and more patriotic people are waking up and seeing that something's not right. I want to read to you a quote from William Cathcart. William Cathcart, a Baptist historian, he gave us the Baptist Encyclopedia. It was published in 1883. And he says in the Baptist Encyclopedia, he says, unrighteous laws were conspiracies against God and the best interests of our race, plots of the evil one, he's got capital E, capital O, to be met by exposure and stern resistance, disobedience to which was loyalty to Jehovah. I thought that was pretty good. Well, we're living according to the Bible, that this know also in the last days, perilous time shall come. We need to pray. We need to be vocal. We need to be aware. We need to be involved. We need revival in our nation. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boom.
News, I'm Mike Rayleigh. The General Assembly comes to town tomorrow. House Speaker Tom Tillis is having a news conference today to